Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Could you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we need company!
Brian! Bad guys in the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke!
Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody, to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That over there is Luke. I think you are still in the Solidarity Realty Studios in WTT.
I am.
You are listening to us live on WAUK 540 AM as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. Give us a call anytime at 844-967-2789. Currently streaming live on WAUKradio.com. You can also check out the WAUK side of the dial on the Devil Radio app. If you go on to the Devil Radio. As some people may have guessed, I did not list off the Madison stations, the Madison stations we have. Those are down for the moment. To be returned moment.
Yeah, working on resolving it.
Just a public service announcement.
This is a first for me. I'm broadcasting... just a public service announcement. This is a first, so I'm broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios, but I am... as remote as I can possibly be still, because, you know, you can't say that the show doesn't go on. We do everything we can to make the show go on around here.
Oh, for sure. That's both of our jobs. It's to make sure that it all runs smoothly. As you may know, this weekend, you may have heard a really awesome boost to the 540 signal. In fact, some people are hearing it as far as Eau Claire, as far as Green Bay. My goodness, that signal is awesome. And within legal limits as well. I learned some things this weekend, which also had me sitting out in a field for another couple hours while getting bitten by bugs as well. That same day, I mowed two lawns. So yesterday, when I went out on the boat, that pretty much sapped all of the energy. I was on a boat yesterday. I was fortunate enough. Thank you, Jill. And it was great. Great time. But I passed out involuntarily around 8:30, 9 o'clock last night. And did not even remotely get to look at any of the debates that we had that I really wanted to get a hold of.
Yeah, you didn't do your Sunday night homework, Brian.
I didn't do my homework.
You were on a boat.
I'm telling you that I was doing other homework. That's why I didn't do this homework.
I did the homework for the rest of the class here on Dueling Tangents. So don't worry. But I was doing other things when it aired out on NBC stations, I believe, across the state. They showed a nice little map from Bayfield all the way to Milwaukee, to Madison, to Green Bay. And there was a nice little map of Bayfield state or NBC stations that were broadcasting the debate across Wisconsin yesterday. I was a little busy yesterday evening, but I watched it this morning in prepping for the day. And, I think I've got some interesting takeaways, but I'd love to hear if any of the callers out there in the listening audience, what their thoughts were of the debate and their takeaways, because this is the first of, I believe, two debates. I believe there will be another one hosted either by Marquette University Law School or WISN. I forget exactly who in early August, but people are already voting in the Democratic primary, and then the partisan primary for August 9th. And I have some takeaways, so we're going to dive into those, but I'd love to hear some callers' takeaways as well. 844-967-2789. You can call into Dueling Tangents. Brian will screen those calls lightly, and we'll talk about it. But it was an interesting debate. There was five candidates, Brian, and they were the five candidates that qualified per NBC's legal requirements. I guess it's not legal requirements, but they put out guidelines. They said, hey, you got to meet, you have to have at least an X number of donors, I believe, statewide to show statewide support. And they had to be polling at a certain level as well to get on the debate stage. Because there's more than five candidates in the Democratic primary for this August. But there were some interesting takeaways. The five candidates, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, vice president on leave from the Milwaukee Bucks, Alex Lazary, as well as Outagamie County executive Tom Nelson and nonprofit executive Stephen Olicara. And I was Olicara a little surprised by a lot of the answers. What's that, Brian?
Olicara made it on. That's pretty cool.
He did. And I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised by a lot of Olicara's answers. I think a lot of the write-ups that I saw from last night and this morning is Olicara made an impression from his responses. But by far, the takeaway was that Mandela Barnes, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, was the winner of the debate. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. There's callers out there that believe that as well. Let me know. 844-967-2789. Who do you believe won the debate? Because I thought there were some good answers from a lot of different people on the debate stage last night, Brian. And there were some good answers and there were some interesting answers. There's no gaffes. There's no like huge debate gaffes last night, but definitely didn't believe there was a clear winner like some write-ups had.
Well, it behooves everyone to get behind a winner, quote unquote, because that way we can kind of all, you know, that's the narrative moving forward. We talk about narrative on this show. I find in a lot of these debates, generally the people who are like in the Tom Nelson and Stephen Olicara category, which before this I would have put Tom Nelson way ahead of Olicara in general, but for this debate, I would say they're on the outside looking in, and they need to score points so they can afford to be more specific, and they can afford to be a little bit more edgy, or at least whereas the front runners have to kind of hedge everything and go, I'm going to be good and not bad. I am. You know what I mean? Like, so it's harder for a front runner to go and take risks. But I think, going into it, I would have said Sarah would have to go in. But again, Sarah's one of those people that if you hear her speak, you're going to be fine. She's great. You know, but
I thought she got off kind of on the wrong. She didn't have the best start to the debate, but I thought she did have some very good answers throughout the debate. She didn't necessarily answer the first question the way very directly. And the moderators across the board yesterday, Charles Benson, and I lost my notes because I don't have them in front of me right now, folks. I'm sorry. I don't know the name of the woman that moderated the debate with Charles Benson last night. But the both moderators were very, very on the nose of making sure questions that were asked were answered. And if they weren't answered, they followed up on those. That's and good. So State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski's first answer kind of got her in a little hot water with the moderators because they were saying, well, please answer this question. Specifically on inflation and how inflation impacted her family, there weren't very many direct answers on the inflation question for how it was impacting families. I thought Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes probably did have the best answers to that one. Speaking of, and kind of downplayed a little bit of the stories that some of the right wing and other news outlets across the state have been harping on the Lieutenant Governor for past bills not being paid and of that nature. And so he downplayed those jokingly with that response.
Alex Lazary, like everybody else.
Didn't want to answer. Yeah. in that regard, Alex Lazary, vice president on leave from the Milwaukee Bucks, pretty much said, hey, this isn't about me. This isn't about my family. This is about addressing it for Wisconsinites. Pretty clear there that the multimillionaire was like, yeah, I'm not necessarily going to answer that question on inflation and how it's impacting me directly.
No matter what I say, everyone knows that it's really just me that charges you $15 for a Miller Lite. Anyway,
what is it? A banana? How much could it cost? $10?
Yeah, something like that. It's fine. Normal people pay that all the time.
There's always money in the banana stand, Brian. Always.
There's always money in the... Yeah, well, you know what? We burned that banana stand down, so there.
That banana stand is on fire. But folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're taking your calls as well for takeaways from last night's Democratic U.S. Senate primary debate held in Green Bay, Wisconsin, broadcast across the state. And Brian, we got a caller?
Yeah, we got Mark from the SAC right now off the top. How you doing, Mark? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to have to go back and review the debate. But I did review the news headlines today. I see where $600,000 of Chinese money was funneled into the Trump campaign. And, you know, CJ will be calling in complaining about inflation and all that. But the economics behind inflation are probably too complex for CJ to understand, because prices do increase, because labor cost has increased and demand has increased exponentially since we've ended the pandemic. And chicken prices have gone up, CJ, because we've had the virus is the avian flu hitting chicken flocks. So flocks have had to be destroyed, have not entered into the food chain. And now those, you know, the impacts on egg prices and, of course, on chicken.
The issue with a guy like that, though, and the folks you're talking about, is that it's not that they can't understand it. It's not that they can't understand how the economics works, or they can't understand how the system works. It's not. I mean, for the most part, it's not like you have to be an economist to really kind of get that. You know, okay, when the price of oil is one price, and that's the price of gas related to that. And then later on, it's a lower price for the barrel of oil, but then the price for gas is higher somehow. That's not that's price gouging. That's how it works. You don't have to. It's a matter of looking at things and saying what it actually is. It's using the scientific method to go and be able to actually look at something and say what is true and what is not. And that's the problem, is that people would rather go and deal with what they believe to be true, what they want to be true, rather than what is true.
And one of those interesting points made at last night's Democratic primary debate was Tom Nelson saying, to address that problem specifically, we need to nationalize the oil companies. Thought that was one of the most pointed responses of last night's debate. But folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. If you've got a takeaway from last night's debate or any other tangent you want to share, give us a call. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian. Oh, wait. I'm Brian. That's Luke. Sometimes it's on purpose. Sometimes it's not. Today it was not. I really meant to say I'm Brian. Good thing I know my own name. I wish there was a scientific way of proving that my name is my name. Maybe I'll check out my birth certificate. How did an Obama birth certificate work out anyway? Did nobody care about that? Or did it turn out to be a bunch of liars and the people who believed in that were stupid? Was that what it was?
And the person that fomented it the most then ran for president in 2016 and somehow,
Normally when somebody comes out and says something stupid like that and then keeps harping on it over and over again, normally the normal people would go and say, wow, that's a person I will not trust from here on out, because they seem to get behind really stupid things that aren't even provable.
Or you make them special counsel in the state of Wisconsin and say, hey, here's $1 million, go spend. Well, here's two-thirds of $1 million that you're authorized to spend, but we don't really care how much you spend. We'll pick up the tab regardless.
Well, I hate that.
That also happens here in Wisconsin.
Good thing that there is a new update on that. Did you hear about this?
There is, Brian.
Yeah, there's a wonderful
update. Oh, I did hear about this.
Madison.com.
Let's let the people know.
Let's tell them what they're getting into. Hey, guys, you're getting into this. This is written in Madison.com. It's by Mitchell Schmidt. And it summarizes. Here's the headline. Judge orders Robin Voss to produce election review records, citing ineffectual records practices. So the people who cry and whine about the absentee ballots and whether the election was run on time can't even take care of their own investigation into said election. They can't even keep their own records.
Whoa. Why are we using the I word? I'm going to pump the brakes right there, Brian. Why are we using the I word? That's not what this is.
Well, let's see what the article says. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has again been ordered by a Dane County judge to produce requested public records related to a taxpayer-funded partisan probe of the 2020 election by former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman. Circuit Judge Valerie Bailey Wrynn on Friday issued the decision, which also orders Voss from Rochester to pay statutory fines and attorney fees to liberal watchdog group American Oversight, which filed a lawsuit following multiple open records requests related to the election probe being conducted by Gableman. In the order, Bailey Wrynn wrote that Voss provided no evidence to explain why it took 6 months for him to respond to some of America's Oversight records requests. I can answer that easily. It's for spite. Despite state law requiring an authority to respond as soon as practicable and without delay, that's state law. For all you chest-beating D-bags that want to go and say, it's the law. It's the law. And Second Amendment and the law. Well, guess what? The law is you have to go and do it as soon as practical and without delay. And guess what he didn't do? That. He broke the law. In addition, when Voss did respond, he produced 1,400 pages of records from an unwanted time period, Bailey Wrynn noted. So either he's stupid or, again, spiteful. Either way, way to go and be standing up for law and order, because if you're following the law, you just broke it. Again, here's a quote from Bailey Wrynn, the judge. Based on the indisputed evidence of Voss's ineffectual records practices, I can draw no reasonable inference except that Voss did not search for the records in the first instance. He now has 20 days to search and produce records related to American Oversight's request per the judge's order. But I have a feeling they don't exist. Anyway, Bailey Wrynn also denied American Oversight's motion for punitive damages against Voss. In sum, here's a quote, Bailey Wrynn. In sum, that Voss was wrong does not justify punitive damages. Here, the records could still exist and be produced if they were properly researched by the respondent. Voss's office had not responded for a request for comment Friday. Great job.
Still giving Voss's office the benefit of the doubt, even after ordering them multiple times to release these documents as part of the probe. It's fascinating, Brian, the contempt that little man has for Wisconsin law when he doesn't. See, you say that all those law and order people are going to be up in arms about this, but really they showed their true colors during the midst of the pandemic when local health officials said, hey, we're going to put out a public health order saying wear a mask, and they refused to wear masks.
And they didn't just refuse to wear masks. They showed their true colors then. They said that too. Very important. Very important note.
Mm-hmm. They did say that. They screamed that from the rooftops. Yeah. Important to know. Yes. But the contempt that the Speaker's office has for the people of Wisconsin and Wisconsin's open record and these laws that are there to instill transparency. So Wisconsinites know that your public officials are working for you and not, say, some sham that they've thrown together to try to justify the means of making it harder to vote in the state of Wisconsin under the guise of some alleged voter fraud that they can't prove. They just want you to believe that it's there, and they're going to spend more than $1 million to try to go find examples and still not be able to produce them, Brian. Wow. That is how much contempt the Assembly Speaker's office has for the people of Wisconsin.
Well, when you base all your decisions based on faith or some sort of crap that you pull out of your butt, then, you know, that's really what you need to do, is you need to have the right butt to pull the crap out of, is really what they're telling you. They're saying that our butts are sweeter than everybody else's butts. That's why our BS tastes sweeter. That's why you should reelect us. Speaking of which, I want to read this quote here at the end from the American Oversight Senior Advisor, Melanie Sloan. It's ironic that Voss claimed an investigation was necessary to instill confidence in the election outcome, but then has done everything in his power to prevent Wisconsinites from learning the whole truth. Voss is not above the law, and American Oversight is gratified to see him accountable for violating Wisconsin public records law. He's violating the law again. And guess what, everybody? No matter how this happens out, it doesn't change the fact that Robin Voss's lawn signs are absolutely awful. They are the dumbest and stupidest lawn signs I've ever seen. They look like a New York license plate. They look like the back end of a New York license plate, which also in turn is ugly. It's all yellow with black lettering on it, and it just says Voss, State Representative. And it's stupid. It's right next to a Michaels one, and just, oh my God. I drove through on the way to the boat yesterday, and my God. Just like, I'm like, I would be embarrassed to put that out as my campaign sign. But again, when you have no taste, and you have no, that doesn't really matter, and you have nothing but contempt for everybody else, who cares what your lawn signs are? I bet you he doesn't even know he has them.
Probably not.
Come back with us, folks. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. What a great day, and what a great time to be alive. I saw the Multiverse of Madness this weekend. I think I'm going to go dreamwalking right now. Listening to us on WTTN 1580 AM as well as 101 FM. Oh, wait. 101 FM, the Shaw on WAUK. But over there in Madison, Luke, you take over. I just got confused. I'm going to go and reset my head.
And I'm start, broadcasting.
Hold on a second. Let's just do this again.
We're just shuffling around, folks.
That feels good. Get after it.
It feels good. I'm Luke. That's Brian. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I believe we should be good to go on Devil Radio 92.7 FM WTTN 1580 AM.
I'm going to go ahead and verify that.
Yeah, we're gonna work on that. But Brian, man, this is an interesting day. You can never say it's a boring day here around the studios. Brian's holding down the fort at the Shaw, 101 FM WAUK 540 AM. You can join us and share your tangents with us, 844-967-2789. We got just a variety of Wisconsin headlines that we're getting to, as well as just debriefing some of the stories over the weekend. Brian was on a boat. He fell asleep, so he missed his homework. He didn't watch the U.S. Senate, Democratic U.S. Senate primary debate that was last night in Green Bay. But we also talked about the update that's going on with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's office. Just contempt for open records law here in the state of Wisconsin. And like I said, if you want to share your tangent, your thoughts on any of the topics that we've already discussed, 844-967-2789.
Well, we already have a caller here calling in from the end of the last segment, and I haven't talked to him in a while. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. How you doing, man? Welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Now,
what's up, Gary? It's been a while, Gary.
Yeah, well, I've never talked to Luke, so I don't
Gary,
know
that's not true. I've screened your phone calls plenty of times before. Oh. I've been a producer for many of the shows here on the air across the years.
But we've never talked.
We talked on the phone. I screened your phone calls.
I know that, but
just not on the air calls.
and we're getting into it. Okay, my bad. Go ahead, Gary. What's on your mind today?
All right. I want to know how you guys really feel about Robin Voss. I mean, you guys, you're holding back, aren't you?
Actually, yes, I am. I'm trying to make it as fun as possible for
the FCC requires me to hold back, Gary.
Gary, the guy is more contemptible than anybody else I've ever seen. He's gaveled in and gaveled out of every session he's been asked to go and serve the
people. No, he hasn't even done that. He makes his lackeys do that, Brian. He doesn't have the audacity to go there. No.
I don't remember the last time he's put forward legislation. In fact, he can't even control his own contractor that he decided to put up there. The guy's been going on for over a year now and hasn't produced anything and hasn't even the ability to go and, you know, respond regularly to regular records requests. What part of him is great for you?
Well, they're politicians. They're paid to lie. And I'm not saying that it's just on the Democratic side. It's on the Republican side.
And you
too.
Call me cynical, Gary?
Well, I'm just telling you how it is. I mean, everybody knows everybody lies. Okay.
Now, no.
Josh Call.
No, that doesn't happen. Okay. Not everybody lies, Gary. You can't. Right, by doing Call, that, you're playing both sides, buddy.
Hey, Josh Call took an oath of office when he was inaugurated as Attorney General. Okay.
That was right after they took away part of his powers.
Right, yeah, anyway. Right after the way they stripped away the office.
So he went out there, blatantly said that he's not going to charge anybody if they commit do an abortion. Okay, you can't pick and choose your law.
Hang on.
Apparently
Gary,
you guys can.
Gary, but how is he supposed to know which law to enforce? The 1849 law, the 1985 law, the 2010s law that Walker enforced? Walker signed? Because there are multiple abortion laws on the books in the state of Wisconsin, which is why the Attorney General filed a lawsuit in Wisconsin courts for us to figure out which law is actually the law of the land right now, because there's confusion.
Oh, I agree. So then why is
it a problem for the state's attorney general to say that he is not going to enforce a law until he knows what laws are supposed to be enforced?
Well, the main precedent law is the one that's illegal from the 1898 law, whatever.
No, in 1849, the state of Wisconsin passed a law outlawing almost all abortions, nearly all abortions except for to save the life of the mother. But in 1985, 12 years after Roe v. Wade was decided by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1985, Wisconsin passed a law that says abortions are acceptable up until fetal viability. So now there is confusion because there was a law passed 12 years after Roe v. Wade changing the 1849 law. And so for you to automatically assume that the 1849 law is what's... The 1985 law is still on the books.
But they have to take it off the books then.
The 1985 law is still on the books, Gary. So how is the Attorney General, without legal advice from the state courts, because the U.S. Supreme Court decided to pick up this case, and they did not have to overturn Roe v. Wade. They did political activism from the bench. They picked up a case that they did not need to pick up from the Mississippi Abortion Clinic in Dobbs. They chose to throw out all of the legal precedent for 50 years without any other backing, then, we want to do this. We don't believe that Roe v. Wade was proper, and so we're just going to throw it out without any legal basis other than the fact that the five justices that voted to do it knew that they could do it.
All right.
That's not a legal decision. That's politics.
Let's switch gears here on the same subject, Gary. Let's say that abortion is illegal and it should be enforced, and Josh Call wants to go and enforce it. All right, let's just say he's going to go for the law that you like to say, even though we don't know what it is, and it would take Robin Voss to maybe even do anything, even a little bit of his job, to go and make sure that worked out. But anyway, let's say he wants to enforce it, how would you enforce it, Gary? Do you want the police to carry around pregnancy tests as well as breathalyzers? How do you want this enforced, Gary? Do you want people like you creeping into people's places and seeing if they have an abortion or not? How do you want this enforced, Gary?
I would just say that you can't do it, and if you do an abortion,
how are you going to know, Gary?
And you will be arrested.
How are people going to know, Gary?
It's on the books.
Oh, it's on the books, but how are people going to know? How do you know if somebody had an abortion, Gary?
You know, they put restraining orders on,
I don't think you have an answer for this, Gary. I just think you chased a car and you bit the end of you got it, and you don't know what to do with it, do you?
It is very difficult, but what I'm saying...
Yeah, you
very
difficult. You want it banned, but you have no idea how to enforce it, do you?
It's very difficult. You can't even begin to start
to say. You cry and whine about the law, and you have no idea how to enforce it, do you, Gary?
I would... If I was the Attorney General, and it's on the books, And the representative...
Yeah, we already got that. That's a supposition. It's on the books. How do you enforce it, Gary?
Then I would... You just have to arrest the people if they go out there and start committing...
How do you know? How are they going to be arrested? How are they going to be arrested? If nobody knows if they got an abortion or if somebody gave an abortion, how do you know? How do you investigate? Do you have abortion police that go out, Gary?
Somebody have to rat them out.
Do you want like brown shirt abortion police coming after people, Gary?
What if,
is that what you're into?
Gary, what if a woman has a miscarriage? Gary, what if a woman has a miscarriage? Does she have to be criminally held liable for that miscarriage?
Well, of course not if it's a miscarriage.
How do you know the difference? The Washington Post literally,
do you know
Gary, hang on, but and to you, this is a conversation, this is a hypothetical conversation that you're having on the radio right now, Gary, because you cannot begin to say how this is an enforceable ban. But because of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, This week, the Washington Post reported a story where a woman here in Wisconsin, southeastern Wisconsin, had to wait 10 days. She was bleeding for 10 days because she had a miscarriage. And she went to the emergency room to receive care. And the emergency room staff did not remove the remaining fetal tissue because they did not know what legal grounds they could because of the legal chaos right now in the state of Wisconsin. This woman bled for 10 days, was at high risk for severe bleeding and infection until an OBGYN prescribed a medical abortion pill to allow her body to get rid of the remaining fetal tissue that was threatening the woman's life.
Did you think about this when you were cheering on this Roe v. Wade?
Is that what every woman that has a miscarriage that does not go all the way through, that has an ongoing miscarriage, has to experience here in the state of Wisconsin now, Gary?
If the baby died inside the womb, of course you can take the baby out.
Well, who's going to be there to tell them they can or can't, Gary? You? That's the whole point, Gary.
The government should not be in making these decisions, Gary. But healthcare officials right now are so immobilized with not wanting to get lawsuits from the 1849 law that you're demanding is enforced. That's the law that you like. So that's the law that you want to see enforced.
This is the aftermath of cheering for stuff. You don't have any idea what you're talking about.
I do have an idea.
You first don't all, have an idea of how this is enforced. You're saying that the Attorney General needs to enforce the 1849 law, but you cannot begin to tell us how it is enforceable. The Attorney General, you are upset at because he is trying to get legal clarification through a lawsuit in state courts to figure out which Wisconsin law from pre or post Roe v. Wade is the enforceable law in the state, and you don't have an answer for how this woman went 10 days with bleeding at severe risk for high bleeding and infection.
Okay,
you
the baby
don't have
already died.
Okay,
the
so
baby died, and I. You should remove the baby, so
Gary. If it was that slam, if it was, if
well, Gary,
you believe that
you
it was
should have
that,
given them a call. You should have called up that hospital and told them because you knew the answer.
Exactly,
they did not. The experts that were supposed to be experts in this situation did not have the answer, Gary. But you apparently did. So why don't you call the hospital and tell them how to do their procedures?
Listen, it's impossible to have a conversation. You guys, when both you guys are yelling at me at the same time, you know, it's very difficult. I mean. I love calling you guys up and at least having the discussion, but I don't appreciate being yelled at by two guys and not giving me a chance.
All right, Gary.
If the law is from 1884, whatever it is.
Gary.
Or, excuse me, 1848.
All right, 1848
law. If it's on the books, then they have to go by that one. It doesn't matter if they come up with a new law. If it's still on the book, they have
Gary?
To get rid of it then.
Gary, can
and
I talk for
one
Gary,
law at a time.
Gary, is it okay if
go
I
ahead.
Talk for a second? Okay, I'm going to ask you very nicely and very calmly.
Thank you, Brian.
Let's say the 1849 law is the law of the land, okay? And in this particular situation with the woman with the miscarriage, all right, who is going to go in and tell whether that was a miscarriage or an abortion? And whose expert judgment would you rely on as to whether they should have that procedure or not?
If I was a doctor, I would go in there to save the lady's life. I would take the baby out myself as a pro-lifer, pro-life doctor. I wouldn't have any problems because the baby, there's no heartbeat.
Okay. Well, that's what we're trying to figure out here, Gary, because there's a couple different laws in the books, and the experts there didn't feel comfortable possibly breaking the law. And on top of that, who's going to report them?
No,
who's going to enforce
it?
And who's going to go and arrest people? Are you going to go and arrest someone who just had a miscarriage? Or are you going to arrest somebody who might have had an abortion that you might not want to talk about their miscarriage or something like that? My point is, the more you go into it, the more you realize maybe the government shouldn't be involved in these kind of things, and we should just rely on the doctors to do it.
I'm very much pro-life. No
yeah, we know,
what,
Gary.
I'm very much pro-life.
Gary, but see, you're
I didn't really think about what
you're bringing in the pro-life. You're bringing in a pro-life argument about heartbeat, but unfortunately, the 1849 law doesn't even account for your argument because it was around in 1849. All it says is that in exceptions for the mother, you cannot do an abortion, the health of the mother, and so even your different classification of what you would believe was acceptable for the abortion isn't actually allowed in the 1849 law that you're arguing needs to be on the books either. So I understand that you're trying to express some compassion from that stance, but unfortunately, there's still legal chaos and confusion, and if it was such a slam dunk that it's 1849 law is the one that needs to be enforced, then the lawsuit filed by the Attorney General should be over really quick. But I don't think it's that slam dunk. There's not a consensus. We're going to have to figure this out because the U.S. Supreme Court decided to do some huge judicial activism from the bench.
Well, that's the that's what you get when you talk to someone who doesn't understand the difference between the separation of church and state.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian. You can give us a call, 844-967-2789. We are back in the saddle. I'm broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Devil Radio 927. Brian's in Waukesha on 101 FM, The Shaw. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. The big guy over there is Brian. You can give us a call, 844-967-2789. And Gary, you know, Brian mentioned earlier he saw the Multiverse of Madness this weekend. I saw Thor last week. Can't wait to talk to you about that one once you see Thor. No spoilers. Yeah, no spoilers, but it did remind me a little bit, Gary, and I do apologize. The scene from Civil War where, you know, both Bucky and Captain America are just beating up on Iron Man, I apologize. I got a little pent-up frustration myself today, and we got jumped on you a little bit on that last segment. And I disagree vehemently with your point, but we do like to have the conversation here on Dueling Tangents and on other fine programming on this show. But once you're kind of going in a cyclical motion?
Yeah, I have no...
Cyclical. There we go. Cyclical motion.
One Gary, we met in person separately.
I have met Gary in person, too. He doesn't remember meeting me at the Roman Coin, I guess. I have a forgettable face.
Again... It all honestly, I can tell you with certainty, and again, I'm friendly with you, dude, but if it doesn't matter to Gary, it doesn't matter to the world. That's all I have to tell you about that, because he didn't even read a book that he went out and go and told everybody what to do on, so it's fine. I really have no tolerance for obtuseness. I have really no tolerance for
agree with his argument one bit. I just felt like we were piling up a little bit on him.
Yeah, I'm totally piling up on him, and I'd have to say well-deserved, and how did you not expect that, saying the thing, not
also
having
fair.
Any answers, and not having any idea what the hell you're saying in the first place. So I'm sorry, if you can't get over it, you're the one call. Remember, you were the guy's the one calling us snowflakes. Just want to remind everybody of that score.
And so. And also, he called into the show, so totally on his own.
I said a bunch of stuff that sounds really dumb. Why are you calling me dumb? I don't know what to tell you, man.
I don't know what else to say.
That's about the hedging that I'm going to do here. All right, let's go do the phones. We just lit up as it happens to be.
As they tend to be.
Yeah, let's go with Fred from Cottage Grove. How you doing, Fred? What's happening, man?
Hi, guys. They talk about the embryo or whatever else, but after there's a birth, they just let everything go. I mean, there's no education, no medical, there's nothing.
Yeah.
If it was about the life of the baby, Fred, we would have universal health care for mothers to be able to make sure that they have all the prenatal care they need. We would make sure that birthing a child in America, I believe on average right now, the cost for a pregnancy suite in a hospital in this country is like anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000. That alone is a very difficult argument to say that you're pro-life. That the healthcare industrial complex is allowed to charge $10,000 to $15,000 just for the birthing suite, that's pretty incredible.
Which sometimes might not be even a suite as much as a curtain, depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just go beyond that. Medical.
I'm sorry, Fred. You got a bad phone, man.
Yeah, your signal's cutting out a little bit, Fred. But we appreciate your call. You can be like Fred, or you can be like Jameson in Pennsylvania calling in. Jameson, what's on your mind today?
Hey, You guys are awesome. Keep up the good work.
We're doing what we can, brother.
I did just want to say in response to the caller about laws being on the books.
Yeah.
It's illegal to serve margarine in Wisconsin, and you can't wear red in St. Croix, so we better get to work.
Yeah, I'm also told you can't have a donkey in a bathtub in New York City. Yeah, I mean, we got to start enforcing these things, and that's why we need to really fund our police, really, so they can go and, you know, enforce the laws that are on the books that really people just don't pay attention to.
I would say there's probably a lot of laws out there that are pretty wacky if you actually read them. There's always segments like podcasts and stuff like that that I listen to sometimes, Brian, where they go through those, and in that sense, it's comical. But then when you want to talk about what's Gary is referring to that needs to be enforced in the state of Wisconsin without actual legal consensus behind that. Because again, there are several laws regarding abortion since 1849. So I don't understand why, like, I don't quite get it. Where he's just like, I like it that way, so it needs to be that law specifically is the law that I want enforced, rather than, you know, finding out the legal consensus behind it. But
yeah, well, here's a fun joke. If you want to stump a Republican on anything, just say this.
That's a great idea. Okay, how do we do that?
That's it. And if they only get it right when the answer is tax cuts.
I love a little Office Space soundbite on a Monday afternoon. Yeah. That's a good one.
You know how we do this? I'm going to press air, and then Jeannie from Eau Claire is going to be on the air. How you doing, Jeannie?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to call and say thank you from the bottom of my heart for being advocates for women. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't. It's not even a choice. You have to do it because we're nothing without you. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I don't see why it's so hard for people to go and say, let's side with the women here.
And little girls.
Yeah.
Little girls.
That story out of Ohio is sickening, Jeannie. Yeah, it's frustrating to see. It seems like the attorney general from Ohio and the attorney general from Indiana are just trying to figure out who's worse. They're trying to figure out which one of them is the worst in that story.
I bet you Gary's proud of that whole situation.
I was going to say, I
didn't bring it up because, you know, he was so proud of the situation we have here, so.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jeannie.
I'm just glad there's men like you in the world. Goodbye.
Have a great afternoon, Jeannie.
Jeannie, I appreciate you, and I heard the emotion in your voice, and I'm sending you a hug from out here, and I can tell you from the people that I've talked to, the women that I've talked to, they have that same edge, and they're kind of looking around going, who's got my back and who's just talking?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a valid emotion. Worrying about someone coming from a different country to go and blow up the entire world, and that's why you have to have an AR-15, That's not a valid worry. You know why? Because it doesn't really happen. But women being pushed around and women being destroyed and women being, you know, put in a situation, that has happened pretty much everything up until the last maybe 100 years, maybe the last 50 years. Oh, wait, when was the last time when was the first time a woman could get their own credit card ever?
Oh, 60s and 70s.
Yeah. So
we still have yet to have a woman president. You know, misogyny is still there, too.
My point
is everywhere.
You have to back them up because guess what? They were second-class citizens up until just less than a century ago.
Mm-hmm.
Second-class citizens.
Yeah.
And already pushing back. That's why I jump all over Gary and the stupid things he says. Wisco Paul, I'm sorry. We'll get to you another time, but we're running out of time right now. I think you're awesome, Wisco Paul, but we only have a couple seconds here.
Yeah.
I'm happy we got to reconnect in the middle of the show. I think we had a great time. We're going to have a great time tomorrow. I may or may not be here, but either way, Luke will be, and we will be live. It will be great, and we'll know how to enforce that because, you know, we'll have thought about what we talked about before we actually did.
Yeah, we got the Matt McNeil Show coming up next here on Devil Radio and the Shaw, and then Devil's Advocates to follow. Talk to you all tomorrow at 2.
It's totally the wrong song on the way out. Good job, Nate.
That's a great idea. Okay, how do we do that?